You know, these guys here that were up at camp, and they are at an age where it's almost definite that they are going to be here when the Lord returns. You know, Jesus gave many signs, some of them general signs, but some very direct signs that have taken place, the rebirth of Israel as a nation. And along with those other signs, he said, this generation will not pass. The longest a generation can be in the Bible is 100 years. So you're looking at, I mean, we could be here too, but you're looking at some people that will definitely be here when the Lord returns. We got work to do. Amen? Right? It's not just about what's going on right now, but Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's been working on his church for 2,000 years about. He's building. He's going to build a church without spot or without wrinkle, the Bible says, right? And he says the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. We won't go into detail about it, but what I wanted to point out is he is building his church. What does that mean to build a church? You know, if I gave you a blueprint of a house that was really nice, or let's say I give you a blueprint of a car, you know, it was a Lamborghini, really awesome. And then the designers went and built the car and it came back to me and it looked like a Pinto. I would be upset. I would say, no, this is not what I gave you the blueprint for. Go back, look at the plans, and go do the plans that I gave you. Well, he's given us plans. It's not for us to think it up in our head. Well, should we get this program or that program? He says, here's my program. Here's the blueprint. Do that. Right? Somebody get excited. In Joel chapter 2, it's on the back of their t-shirt if you don't have a Bible. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. How many know when he says something's going to happen, it's going to happen? When he said a virgin was going to bear a son, how's that going to work? Did it happen? Mary said, how's that going to be? I don't know a man. She said, don't worry, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. So when he says something's going to happen, well, how's that going to happen? There's her answer right there. Don't worry. The Holy Ghost, I'm going to pour it out on my sons and my daughters, and they're going to begin to prophesy. They're going to begin to speak the truth. No more religion, no more the ways of man, no more what's just comfortable, right? But they're going to speak the word, the truth. And then what's he going to do? Show signs and wonders. What is a sign? What's a sign from God? Well, it could be a penny in a Bible. But it's things also that we can't do, whatever it may be. In wonders. What's a wonder? Well, if it doesn't make anybody wonder, then it ain't a wonder. If it ain't awesome, then it ain't a wonder. But he's promised that he's going to do wonders. Right, guys? Yeah. I haven't talked to you guys. You're in the front row. He's going to do wonderful things. That doesn't mean just, oh, isn't that wonderful? No, wonderful meaning that is full of awe and wonder beyond what I can think of. This has got to be God. That's what he wants to do in the earth. Right? Not some programs. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. You know, puppets are great, but there better be signs and wonders. How about puppets that do signs and wonders? Never mind. That would be a wonder. We've been talking about the end days, right? So we're kind of on this theme. And I'm just going to share just shortly with you today, okay? The Lord just put it in my heart to talk about society in these last days. What's going to happen in society? Because we need to be ready. And as society goes downhill, because that is one of the promises that God gives us, that society is going to go downhill. But the church is going to arise. And the church is going to be victorious with struggles, with tribulation. But we can come out on top. But we've got to be mentally prepared, right? Right? Jesus had to be mentally prepared for those that would come against him. We've got to be mentally prepared, right? The same mind that Jesus had when he went to the cross is the same mind that we have to have. That we're not backing down. That we got one chance at this. We're going to do what we are called to do for such a time as this, like Pastor Corey said a few weeks ago, that we've been put in the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther was put in the kingdom for a certain project, if we want to call it that, and it was, she had to risk her life. But she said, if I die, I die. We need that mentality. Not just if I die physically, but that thing in us that says, what am I missing out on? Or, I don't like feeling uncomfortable. Get over it, huh? Are you guys all right tonight? You look a little drowsy or something. We need coffee and, amen. Wow. Awesome. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. You ready for revival? You guys ready for revival? For God to touch your schools, for God to move through you guys. You know what keeps God from moving through us? Yeah, I'm looking at you guys. We do. That's right. Because what if God wants to say something, but we don't want to say something? And then God has to try and find somebody else. What if God wants to do something, but we just go, I don't know if that, we don't believe God can do that through us. Then God is limited, right? Are you in 2 Peter chapter 3? I'm just going to read verses 3 and 4 here. It says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So the first thing that we're going to talk about quickly is, in the last time, scoffers are going to come. What are scoffers? Well, we get a lot of examples of them around, don't we? But the Bible tells us why they're scoffers. Scoffers walking according to their own what? Their own lusts or their own desires. A scoffer is a scoffer because they want to do their own thing. They're not just deceived, although they are. They're because they've chosen to be, because they want to do their own thing. They want to walk, don't you tell me what to do. They're afraid that they're going to miss out if they choose God. And so they're going to scoff at you and me. Is that gonna change what we do? Is that going to change our message? Is that going to change our message? Awesome. I don't always get to preach to these guys, so this week I do. So I'm going to take advantage of it. Go to 2 Timothy. So back to the left just a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Everything that God does is good. He said in the book of Ecclesiastes that the end of a thing is better than the beginning. So what God does in these last days is going to be better than what He has ever done. And you guys get to be part of it. Right? Second Timothy chapter 3, you there? Verse 1, he says, but know this. I mean, we should know everything in the Bible. But when he says this, but know this, and you should really know this, huh? He says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So he says in the last time, what kind of times are coming? Perilous, right? What does perilous mean? Not good? Okay, that's good. Difficult. We'll say it that way. Or not good. They are difficult times. So he says, as when you come into the last days, and as the last days get even shorter, he says, the times for society are going to become more difficult. Why? Because of the judgment of God? No, because men will love themselves instead of God. Because people will love pleasure rather than God. Right? Let's just look at a couple of these things. Perilous times will come for men or people will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud. What happens when people have pride? When they don't look to God? Then God says, you're not looking to me, I can't help you. And what happens when man does things without God? It falls apart. Listen, there is no remedy. There is no party. There is no president that can remedy this nation. Only God can. The political system is getting more and more intense because people are looking for an answer. And I don't care who gets in there next. They're going to get scrutinized. But there's no hope if God doesn't help us. Well, our answer is smaller government. Or our answer is if the government would just tax the rich and they would pay their fair share or whatever. No, God has to do something. There is no remedy without God. Now, there is wiser things to do things, but I'm not going to go there tonight. But it doesn't matter how wise we do things without God. It ain't going to help. Proud blasphemers. You know what a blasphemer is? We always blaspheme you. Blaspheme God. Well, just the word to blaspheme means to speak evil of. Is there people in this society who like to speak evil? I was talking with my parents just the other day, just how much society has changed in the last since the 50s. Wow, talking about the show, Fathers Knows Best. How would that go in a society like this? And then we're talking any show that the dad's an idiot, right? Pretty much. The kids are crazy, and then we wonder why the enemy's trying to groom a generation. We'll trump him. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to groom a generation. We'll say, no, no, no. No, no, no. We're not going to let you do that. God told me, he said, one Saturday morning, he said, go turn on Saturday morning cartoons. I do not like Saturday morning cartoons. He said, go turn on Saturday. Well, he didn't say it. I just felt it in my heart. I just knew it was God. I turned on 4. I turned on 5. I turned on 11. Within 60 seconds, I watched 3 channels, 3 cartoons, and within 60 seconds of me going boom, 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 there was occultic things in all 3 of them, blatantly. The enemy's trying to groom a generation. But you know how many you know God is way, way better? We're going to let him do it. What happened when the disciples tried to keep the kids from coming to Jesus? He had to rebuke them and say, let the kids come to me. Not religion, not just whatever, but let them come to me. Let them come to the presence of God. I'm going to pour out my spirit on your sons and on your daughters, the prophet Joel said in these last days, and they're going to prophesy. You know what it means to prophesy, guys? Is it uncomfortable me looking at you guys like this? Like, actually, no, I don't. But I'll say whatever you want me to say if you'll just quit staring at me. It means that you begin to speak what God is speaking. It's actually God speaking. It's you speaking, but it's God speaking. So it's like you're at school, and all of a sudden you look at somebody and you say, you know what? Boom, boom, boom. And God says something that they need to hear. You didn't know they needed to hear it, but God knew. And it could be a word of knowledge, like something you didn't know, or it's just a word that's saying, you know what? You may feel lonely right now, but I just want to let you know that if you ask Jesus, he'll help you with that. And maybe they were feeling lonely because God just put it on your heart. God will speak through you. Right? Right. Go to 1 Timothy, just to the left. If you're going to go to the left, and go to the left of 1 Timothy chapter 4. You there? 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, now the Spirit expressively says that in the latter times, that's what we're talking about, these end days. Now the Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, you can't leave something unless you're in something. Let me say it again. You can't leave your house unless you were in your house, right? You can't leave the faith unless you were in the faith. It says, in these last days, the Spirit expressively says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Why? They're going to give heed to demons and spirits and doctrines of demons. So, you know, it's like, well, you were in the faith. Why did you leave? Well, I started listening to a demon. No, that's not what they're going to say. They listen to demons because they listen to the doctrines of demons. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Peter said, just as there was false prophets in the times of old, so you will have false teachers. Jude said this, that there are teachers that have crept in unnoticed who deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that would be easy to spot them if they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just deny him in their words. They deny him. They deny him in what they say. Titus said this, that there are people who claim to know God, but in their actions they deny him. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. Now, who was talking? Jesus. That was easy, right? Here, people get it backwards a lot. Jesus says, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. Listen to me. Try and stay focused here. He's not saying that people are all these, although it has happened and probably will happen again, but he's not saying all these people are going to say, I'm Christ. No, I'm Christ. No, I'm Christ. Who do you think you are? No, they're going to say, Jesus is the one talking. Jesus is saying, they're going to come saying, I'm Christ. Jesus is saying, they'll come saying that Jesus is the Christ, and they will deceive many. Jesus said, you've got to know them by their fruits. Not the fruits, not the gifts, the fruits. And so people are going to come, and they got just, oh, that was a powerful word. But if you corner them and say, but is there salvation another way? Oh, yeah. Isn't that the big thing now? Tolerance? Tolerance? Now, we're not talking about hating. We're not talking about standing on a street corner. We need to love our enemies. People I disagree with, we need to serve them and love them. But tolerance isn't saying, whatever you say is right. Or if it offends you, if the truth offends you, then I won't say it. That's people are living in sin and someone says, you know, you just got to love them. Well, yes, absolutely. But love speaks the truth, does it not? If someone's doesn't see the cliff they're about to walk off, but it's going to hurt their feelings if I tell them they're about to walk off it, do I tell them or not? Right. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. It's quiet in here now. All right. Bible talks about great delusion coming because people didn't love the truth. See, there's people now that talk the talk. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, da-da-da-da. But is it real faith? Real faith, if something's not tested, and I don't know if it's real or not, real faith is going to be tested. Right? Real faith is going to be tested. Peter, in 1 Peter, talks about your faith has to go through the fire. Just like gold has to go into the fire. Because when you put the gold in the fire, what happens? The impurities rise to the surface. And he says, I'm going to allow your faith to be tested. We're going to see if it's real or not. He's not trying to get us to go off course. He died for us to be on course, right? He gave everything he could give for us to be saved. But at the end of the day, we have to choose. Do we really believe? Not believe that God exists. The Bible says The demons believe that God exists and they tremble, right? But to believe means we're going to conduct our life after what he said. Thank God it's through what Jesus did that we're saved. But we've got to make that decision. Matthew 24, verse 33. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. He's talking about all these signs. I'm not going to take the time to read those now. But he says, assuredly, verse 34, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away. It won't end, but it'll be changed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Now that taken there, people just assume usually that that's the rapture. I want you to look at verse 38 real quick. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. What did the flood do? Was that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, I don't mean the whole, I mean if you were taken away. If you were taken away, that was not a good thing, right? Until the flood came and took them all away. And then the very next thing he says is, verse 40, two men will be in the field, one will be taken. The rapture? Well, I'm not going to argue with anybody, but I don't think so, because right before that, taken meant taken in the flood. He's saying it's going to come quick. People will be marrying, everything's going to be fine, eating, drinking. Come on, there's going to be a false peace in the earth. Well, we don't have time to go into all the details of it, which I'd like to, but I can't right now. But there'll be a false peace in the earth, and a one major religion in the earth. It'll be a religion of tolerance. Yes, it will. And boom. The day of the Lord, the last great tribulation, not because God's ticked off and he's had it, no, but he has to end things. And there are people who refuse to repent. And he's going to give them one last chance. And as we talked about in Revelations, that there was a great multitude from every tribe, every tongue. And the messenger said to John, who are these people? And he said, you know who they are. And he said, these are the people that have come out of the tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. There's going to be a great harvest that comes out of the tribulation. Those last 3.5 years of this age. But he says, it's going to come quick and boom. One's going to be taken and another one's going to be taken. Another one's going to be taken. And we get more detail from the book of Revelations about how many, what percentage will die and how quickly it will happen. And I'm not going to go there tonight. You can study it yourself or come back next week. No. But the point of the matter is it's going to be quick. And it's going to be like, it's going to make anything else, anything that has ever happened in this world look like, I don't know how to say it, but like child's play. It's going to make it look, because he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And we're about preparing ourselves and preparing a generation for the Lord's return. This is Bible. And how are we going to do it? Through His blueprint. And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my Spirit on your sons and your daughters, and they will prophesy. And I'm going to show wonders in the heavens above and in the earth. Amen. And it's up to us to trust Him enough that what He said is coming, that we conduct our lives appropriately. Okay? I want to give you one last scripture. Go to Revelation chapter 1. I mentioned this last week. It says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, listen. He says, you are blessed if you read those words, hear those words, and do those words. And as we mentioned last week, the first century, the second century, and every generation before us, they have not seen the coming of the Lord Jesus, right? But those words were still true to them. If they heard those words and listened to them, they would be blessed. How is that true? How can that be when the Lord didn't even come and he was talking about things that weren't even to happen in their generation? If we don't live our lives with this mentality of the reality of what's coming, we end up living our lives for temporal things. We end up, oh, they hurt my feelings and now I'm consumed with that. Oh, so what? Oh, I could have had that and I should have. Move on. Life's short. If you don't live your life, if you don't live your life with this mentality, it becomes difficult to give your life as a sacrifice to Jesus. Meaning you just abandon yourself because you're worried every day about what you're going to miss out on and, oh, I'm uncomfortable. Oh, well. The Apostle Paul, who went through much more than I don't know everyone in here perfectly. Some I know better than others. But I'm pretty sure that the Apostle Paul went through more than anybody in here. But he says, I can't compare these light afflictions that I go to with. I can't compare these light afflictions that I've gone through with the glory that awaits me. There is a reward. There is a reward. And don't be so, so-called pious. Oh, I'm not looking for a reward. You better be. It's not about a financial reward. You ain't going to need money in heaven or when Jesus returns. There is rewards. He's looking for people he can trust in the age to come. And if you don't live your life with this mentality, you're not seeing things correctly. I'm not saying I'm there yet. I'm just saying this is where we got to go, right? This is what we've got to have. Right. So I believe every day we got to catch ourselves. Jesus said every day we got to pick up our cross. It's got to be a decision we do every day. Say, you know what? It's not a season. You know what? And you guys here that went to camp, it's not just an event at camp. It's now. What do I do with that? We have to take the event we had and we have to translate it into a new lifestyle and a new way of thinking. Right? It's not just, that was a great event. That's great. That's awesome. It was. But now we take that event and we change it into a new lifestyle. How many of you have ever been sitting here on a Sunday night or somewhere else and you heard the word of God come and you went, you know what, I need to change this or change that. But it didn't quite happen the way you expected. One honest person, okay. No, I didn't really, I wasn't really asking for you to raise your hand. But the point is we need to do that. We need to have this mentality. So we don't get up in the lot tomorrow morning and say, and we're consumed with what's right in front of our face and we can't even see eternity, much less even into the end of the week. What really matters? You know? What really matters? What really matters is, and this isn't a guilt trip, but what really matters is that people without Jesus who die really will be eternally separated from Him. Jesus did not come to this earth to condemn the earth, but He came to save it for those who would accept Him. He would give the right to become the sons or the children of God, right? I want everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes. There is nothing more important than you making the decision that Jesus is going to be Lord of all. That faith isn't going to be just a surface faith where you say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. No, but you believe the words He said and it translates into a new lifestyle. Where you do what Jesus said, you just abandon things. You repent and you're baptized and you enter into a new life and you're born again. If you're not sure that if you were to die today or in 100 years, whenever it would be, if you're not sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would spend eternity with Him, I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision tonight. The Bible says that there are multitudes in the valley of decision that need to make a decision. If you need to make that decision tonight, I want to give you that opportunity to say, yes, I choose you, Jesus. Yes, my life is yours. If you want to do that, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three, raise your hand. Okay, raise your hand. Good. Who else?